All right, it is great to have you aboard. We got Kings basketball coming up tonight. Let's pick up where we left off about DeMarcus top five. There's no way I could put him top five. That doesn't mean he won't be top five someday, but based on what I've seen in his 6 years and particularly last year, there's no way I could have him top five. I can't do it.
Grant, listen to me, man. I'm not saying DeMarcus is a top five player yet.
No, that's
I'm saying
just
he's
did.
A top five talent, meaning that he'll become a top five player when, to your point, he begins to put wins and leadership and all those things. I'm just saying, at 6'10", 6'11", 270 pounds, nimble, can shoot the ball, soft hands, that's talent. That is top five talent. Player is different.
All right. I agree with what you just said, okay? When you talk about someone's individual traits, when you talk about his individual
talent,
he's very talented. There's no question about that. But, I mean, the caller said, you know, he's a top five player in the NBA, and I'm saying he's not a top five player in the NBA.
Yeah, he has to – there's some things that you have to do to be that. One is lead your team to the playoffs, dominate.
Yep.
There's a lot of things that you and I have talked about that if they take place, and they really can – if they do, then he's now a top five player.
And I don't think you can ever become a top five player if you're playing 59 games and 65 games in a season. And Doug, you taught me something, and it was something that I had never thought about. You said when you started getting ready for the start of a season and you put all your work in the summer, your goal was not to play 82 games. Your goal was, hey, you know what? My season starts at the end of 82 games. And I'm a little concerned, you know, with DeMarcus, who at the end of the last two seasons has not been able to go. That's a concern for me if this team is looking at becoming a playoff team because, Doug, as you said, and you put it, you hit it right on the head, and I had not thought of it, that's when the season starts.
Yes, it does, because I'm not stopping working out until the playoffs are over. I'm talking championship.
Right.
I will take a break because that is the goal. That's where you want to get to. And you have to stress your body and let your body understand what you are expecting of it. And I think a lot of guys turn it off right after 82 games. And then when the playoffs come, you can't be depended upon because your body isn't ready to give what it needs to give.
You know, again, the bottom line is I think the guy's supremely talented. You know, I do have a vote every year, and I've put him, you know, in the top 10 and top 15 players on my second and all third or third all NBA teams. It's not like I don't think the guy's talented,
right?
But I had, you know, again, I got when a caller calls up and says that, I got to come on, let's get serious.
Well, I just wanted to say, Sports Illustrated has him ranked at 12, but then they have some other things in there.
Okay,
Klay Thompson
at
18.
You know, the difference between Klay Thompson and why I think he's more difficult to put in there as a shooting guard in the NBA, and again, this is not his fault. It's like saying, well, Joe Montana wouldn't have been as good of a quarterback if he didn't have Jerry Rice. Well, he did have Jerry Rice, okay?
Right.
You know, you can't hold that against him. So I don't think it's fair to say, well, Klay Thompson wouldn't be this or that if he didn't have Steph Curry. He does have Steph Curry, okay?
Right.
He does have Draymond Green. You can't hold that against a player. I mean, Doug, let's just be honest here. You wouldn't have been good as you were in Sacramento if you didn't have Webb, Vlade, and Pesha playing on the front line.
I mean, totally agree.
All right, so Klay Thompson to me, though, because of the position that he plays and because I think he's one of the very best perimeter shooters that we've seen, I think he's one of the best perimeter shooters in the NBA, I don't think he gets enough credit, Doug, because I think he does a lot more things that people don't talk about.
Yes, I agree. Well, they have so if Klay is 19, excuse me, they have James Harden at 7, Kawhi Leonard at 6, Westbrook at 5, Chris Paul at 4, Steph at 3, KD at 2, and LeBron James at 1, and Blake Griffin is ahead of DeMarcus at 10, and so is LaMarcus Aldridge at 11.
I don't have a problem with that. I really don't. I mean, I've had this debate with callers on my show, and it's subjective, okay?
Yes.
And it is, and I always say, okay, if you had a choice to take in this player or that player, who would you choose? And again, it's subjective. There's no right or wrong answer. It's just based on someone's opinion. And if I say I want Blake and you say you want DeMarcus, you know, that's all right. That they're both tremendous players, right? I mean, I think that sometimes when we're asked to choose between A and B, if we choose a different letter than what the other person wants, they automatically assume we don't think the player is worthy. That's not the case at all here.
Not
we're talking about the best players in the NBA in this conversation. question, are we not?
Yes, we are. And I'm saying, when I talk about talent, Grant, I'm saying with DeMarcus, he is a top five mismatch in the NBA. So that automatically puts him into a sphere of, it's different. He just has to now match all of these enormous talents that he has. He has to match them with winning, the ability to lead a team for a whole season, like you're saying, 75 or above games, because they're only going to go as far as he takes them.
Yeah, I had an argument the other day with someone. I said I'd rather have Karl Anthony Towns, and he said I was crazy. I said, no, why I'm saying that is today DeMarcus Cousins is a better player than Karl Anthony Towns. But you're talking about all the tools that someone has in their toolbox. I don't see any tools that are missing in Karl Anthony Towns' toolbox. And I just watched him play what I thought was an incredible first season. And I think, and again, maybe I'm overvaluating him. Maybe I'm overvaluing him, But I think he's going to be a superstar in this league, barring injury. I think he's going to be great.
I totally agree with you. I mean, he has the whole package. The only area that he's probably not as dominant as DeMarcus has that caboose on him, that rear end, that he can go down there and he can really bang some people around. So,
very well said.
But, I mean, as a toolbox, whatever they're handing people at Kentucky, they're handing it out in aces, man.
Yeah, and again, I mean, do I think DeMarcus has a chance to be that guy? Yes, I do. But I also think that he's got to play, and I don't know how you feel about number of games played, Doug, but I personally, when I vote, I factor in those things because I think it's very important. I think if you are going to be the best player on a team, okay, and you're playing on a team that doesn't have necessarily a ton of talent around you, and that's been the case here the last couple of years. I think it's better this year, but I think if you're going to be the guy's got to be there night in, night out. And I'm okay, all right, if I'm picking a random number at 75, that means, in my opinion, I can see, okay, I'll be okay if he misses 7 games. I can live with that. But I can't be okay if he misses 15 games or 20 games, because then to me, all right, this team, when we're talking about Sacramento here, it's going to be almost impossible for them to be 41-41 if DeMarcus ends up missing 20 games or 15 games again this year. That's my opinion.
I totally agree with you, Grant. And how you equate that is, I would say, for NFL fans, for like a quarterback, 7 games in the, 75 games in the NBA is like an NFL player or a quarterback maybe missing 1 game, maybe 2 games. But you're not going to be a dominant player in the NFL, and your team's not going to be dominant if your quarterback is that for half of the season or a third of the season.
Yeah, good conversation right there. Very good stuff. So we're on the same page. I think we both are on the same page. And I love talking about these things, Doug. And I'm hoping that as we move on here, we can have more conversations like this, because I think it makes for good radio. Again, it's subjective. You play the game. You have a different perspective than I do. And again, the things that I've learned from you just about the working out and how you approached it, that had never dawned on me before. You know, and I think it's fascinating when someone like you comes to Sacramento and you say, you were a basketball – I forget the term, but here when you were around Pete Carrill, you became a basketball player.
Yes.
I think that's phenomenal.
It amazed me, Grant, because the things that I thought that I knew and I thought that I understood, I had no idea. And it blew my mind that Pete used to say, with so much talent, Doug, what's wrong? Is there a screw loose in there, son?
Unbelievable. you're a beauty, man. I love it. Hey, I want to tell you that Sports 1140 is bringing food music together with Downtown Chowdown October 29th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Capitol Mall in downtown Sac. Enjoy over 300 food trucks and vendors, craft beer garden, and performances by Doug's favorite group, the Goo Goo Dolls, Thompson Square, and Nelly. Just go to KHK.com for more information. When we come back, Ken Korak will talk some baseball next. My boy. Doug, you're not my boy, are you? He can't hear me. Doug, are you there, buddy?
Oh, yes, I am here, my friend.
What's that, Katie? Now back to Grant and Grant's boy?
Hey, I'm your boy. Is that what's up?
Is that, hey, you know what? Unbelievable.
Hey, man. I don't write it. Do you write it?
No, I don't do anything. I just show up and talk. I don't
write
a thing.
That's pretty much what I'm doing.
I got into broadcasting, so I didn't have to write. Ken Korak, the voice of the Aces here, and he does write because he got to keep score while he's doing the game. As a broadcaster in baseball, that's pretty basic, right? Everyone keeps score, correct, Ken?
They do, although my writing is only legible for me. So if you're, when Braden threw his perfect game, I thought, maybe I'll give the scorebook to somebody. You know, it might be a nice memento. And I thought, nah, I'm the only one who can read it.
That is awesome. Ken Korak, who lives about 10 minutes from here. Doug Christie back in studio, Ken.
Yeah, I remember Doug way back to the Pepperdine days. Oh. I think I might have called a game or two that he played in.
That's
back
awesome,
there for
man.
The Waves. Yeah, yeah.
Had some hair. I was doing things.
Man. Yeah, exactly. No, he could play.
It was a long year, huh, Ken?
It was a long year. It really was. And 2 years in a row that were tough. So I think it's, as you know, Grant, it's a really important offseason for the A's because they're never into the rebuilding mode. I mean, they think they can win every year. It just didn't work out this last year.
You know, we had Dan Plesac on last hour from the MLB Network, and you know Bernsie very well. He played with the A's. I've known Bernsie for a long time, and he's a huge proponent of having the balls and strikes automated. I would that would really disturb me, but I don't work in baseball. You do. How would you feel about that?
I don't know. That's a little too far. It took me forever to come around to replay. So now to ask me to go in the direction of an automated home plate umpire, I'm not so sure about that. In fact, you know, Grant, I still have concerns about replay. I don't think it's a perfect system. I think they still have to tweak it. So, yeah, I know Bernsie went up to San Rafael and was up there for a couple of games when they actually had the computerized umpire. I have great respect for him, but
I do too.
I really can't go in that direction.
Ken, say it ain't so, man. There are some things that you can do and some things that you can't. Because if you go automated, do we lose the ump behind the plate?
No, I guess. I
don't know, maybe. Come on.
Well, they've got cars that drive themselves now.
This is true,
so, right?
I don't. Who knows what direction they're going? But I have a feeling that. That's something we're not going
to
see.
By the way, I would prefer not to be on the road when those cars are on the road next to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
I don't have the greatest trust. Hey, let's talk about the American League for a minute. And I asked Dan this question. I want to ask you because you've seen these teams, although not a lot, because you know, the West and East don't play each other a lot anymore. Were you more surprised with what Toronto did or with what Cleveland did in the first round?
I think I'd have to say Cleveland. Especially because of their injuries to their pitching staff. With guys like Salazar and Carrasco hurt, they have great young pitching, but now they're piecing it together. Of course, they have Andrew Miller, and he was acquired by them when the A's were in Cleveland, and that was a huge story because he's a difference maker, and Terry Francona is such a great manager. I have great respect for him, and they bring Miller in the game in the sixth inning.
It's unbelievable.
They can shorten the game, but I think Toronto has a tremendous amount of talent, but as you know, and you probably feel this way in the NBA, your perspective on teams is skewed by what you see. When we saw the Red Sox, they were incredible. I mean, I thought the Red Sox at one point were the best team in the American League, then they lose in the division series, but the Blue Jays have a tremendous amount of talent, and their offense is just
scary.
When they get it going, it can be scary, yeah.
What do you expect from this series, the ALCS, with Toronto and Cleveland? Are we looking at Estrada and Kluber in Game 1? That is tomorrow night? I'm not sure if that is correct.
I think the Blue Jays announced Estrada, and Cleveland said Kluber.
Yes, they did.
And then Trevor Bauer in the second game for the Indians.
That's right.
I'd have to pick the Blue Jays. Mm-hmm. I just think their talent is just so... like we were saying, offensively, they're really good. Defensively, Tulowitzki really helps them a short. They're great on the left side with Donaldson, obviously, and they're really good defensive team. Kevin Pillar in center field, I think, is really underrated. So if I were to pick a team, I would have to say Toronto, although I think the Indians are a great story. And the dream matchup would be the Indians and the Cubs.
That's right.
Looking at 1948 and 1908.
Speaking of the Cubs, I can't remember. Did the A's play them in Interleague this year?
We tried to. No, yeah, the Cubs came to the Coliseum.
That's right. They were there for three games, right?
Yeah, and they swept the A's.
It was scary.
Yeah, they were really, really good.
Yeah. You know, you talk about the A's, and obviously, you know, it's been two long years, and so there's obviously a lot of work to do, and we know the restrictions, if I can use that term, in putting together this ball club. But then again, those restrictions, we saw the A's win the division and, you know, go to the playoffs for those 3 years in a row. So what do you think are the biggest needs right now?
Well, I think it's the outfield. I think the thing that would buoy the hopes of A's fans and certainly people like myself would be that whenever the A's have been good, and they're not alone in this, but I think especially because they play at the Coliseum, the cornerstone has been pitching. Mm-hmm. And they have really good young starting pitching. So if you're going to build a club, you've got to start with that. So I'm enthused by that, optimistic because of that, but really they have a lot of work to do in the outfield. And I think especially in the division where you have teams like the Astros, the Rangers have great athletes.
No question.
They could run down the ball in the outfield. The A's didn't have that.
How baffling was Sonny Gray, by the way?
First time in his life he'd ever struggled. I was talking to somebody the other day, and even going back to his high school days, he's a guy that had tasted success from the time he was probably, 14 or 15 years old. He did have some physical issues this year, but he has to come back healthy and lead. It's a young pitching staff, but if you have that one guy at the top who's an ace, it takes a lot of pressure off the rest of the guys.
Ken, you were remiss to use the word rebuild, obviously, with AIDS because they just don't want to do that. But with, 50 million under the cap, I mean, they're not going to come close to it. So how do you put a product on the field to compete? Like you said, the Cubs come in and you really can't compete against them.
Well, I think the only thing, Doug, I can go back to is that since I've been doing the A's have had 8 different years in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe, I'm too close to it to see it objectively, Doug. But I look at every year and think, they've got a shot.
Grant says that about me, by the way, with the Kings, Ken, so it's okay.
The Indians don't have the biggest payroll. But what you have to do when you don't have the resources these other clubs have is you can't miss on your young players. You can't miss on your draft choices. You have to be really good in your farm system, in your evaluation, your player development. And that has to be the case for the A's.
You know, as a baseball fan, not even as a broadcaster, but for someone that knows the game as much as you do, because we've been talking about this the last 2 days with, Matt Moore going 8 strong innings, but his pitch count's at 120, but he had just retired 9 guys in a row, including the last guy, Dexter Fowler. He struck out. He comes off the field in the 8th, and they say, that's it, you're done. We know how awful the Giants bullpen was all year. And there's been, but I always say, the manager and the pitching coach know their pitchers a heck of a lot better than anybody else does. But why not at least send the guy out to start the 9th? And if the first guy gets on, then pull him.
Yeah, it's a great point, because let's look at it this way, Grant. If there was no pitch count and you just looked at how he pitched in the 8th inning,
they wouldn't even think about taking
him. He would have come out for the 9th.
That's right.
Right. It's like, what did Satchel Paige say? That if you didn't know how old you were, how old would you be? Right?
Right.
Right. It's kind of the same thing.
I'd be about 25, right. Okay? But
exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly. I'm with you, Grant.
We all would be. But their bullpen was just, this was a microcosm of their second half in San Francisco.
Ken, staying with pitching, Clayton Kershaw, who has just been absolutely dominant during the regular season, and then last year against St. Louis, he just gets banged around, and he's just not the same Clayton in the postseason. Why is it the bats turn up, the strike zone shrinks? What is it?
Same with David Price.
David Price has really had a terrible time, and that's an issue. I beg to differ with you a little bit. On 3 days rest, I thought Kershaw pitched a heck of a game the other night.
He did. I agree with you.
I really do. And the bullpen gave it up. The reason that Kershaw got charged with 5 runs was what happened after he left the game, because the bullpen couldn't hold
it. That's
right. Okay.
I thought he might have vindicated himself a little bit by what he did the other day.
But Doug is right. He cannot beat the Cardinals in a postseason. That's been his big nemesis. Last year against the Mets, I think he got the monkey off his back. He pitched a really good game in the playoffs against the Mets. And on 3 days rest, if guy gives you, he leaves the game up 5-2, and what was it, the 8th or the 7th?
I think he got at least into the 7th.
And I get, you're right about the bullpen. I do agree with Doug in this point, though. To me, a guy as good as Clayton Kershaw during the regular year should have better postseason numbers than he does. Now, maybe that's not fair to blame it all on him, but he is the guy throwing. We also see stories of guys that are so-so during the year. And, we talk about the A's. Obviously, Reggie Jackson, he didn't get the nickname Mr. October for nothing. But there are pitchers that we see that, for whatever reason, when the calendar hits October, they look like they're unhittable, and they're so-so during the regular season.
And I think it's big. I think even in consideration for the Hall of Fame, I think you have to look at, because people look at, the raw numbers, like a Jack Morris, whose ERA was higher than almost anybody who's gone in. He's not in the Hall of
Fame.
That's right. But he was a phenomenal postseason pitcher. And that really has to count as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, Justin Verlander has had many rough postseason outings now.
Except
for Game 5 against the A's.
Yeah, twice.
Back-to-back years.
Right.
And we go back. That's why the A's went out and got John Lester. Because they felt that would be the guy that, if they matched up with Detroit in a Game 5 or a pitcher like that, they would have a guy that you – correct me if I'm wrong. You're going up against Justin Verlander and you don't have an ace. You got good pitchers, but you don't have that guy. So you get John Lester. Now, unfortunately, it didn't work out. But I remember the day the deal was made, I was all for it. I thought it was great because, to me, that was the missing link to getting past Detroit. You didn't have that guy to go up against Justin Verlander.
And he had the lead in the play, the wild card game against Kansas City, and we reflect back on that and know what happened 2014. But and that's what can happen in a short series, too, you guys, in a five-game series like the A's in 2003 against the Red Sox. You know, they had a 2-0 lead.
That's
now the
right.
Red Sox tie the series in Boston. The A's had those faux pas on the bases in the third game. Now you come back to the Coliseum. You're playing the fifth game. You face Pedro Martinez. Wow. So you run up against a hot ace like they did in that game with Pedro and Verlander a couple times.
Jeez.
Boy, it really makes it tough.
It does. We are talking with Ken Korak. Before I let you go, and we're with Doug Christie in Sacramento, we're sitting in this new T-Mobile Center, beautiful building. You're from here. You live here. Hockey's 1 year away. How do you think it's going to do in this city?
Well, I don't know a whole lot about hockey, but I think it's going to do really well, at least initially.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that after time, they're going to have to win because it's like, for instance, I think football would be very big here because it's one game a week.
Yeah, it's
and
eight games a year.
There's
right.
so much focus on football out here. You know, hockey, you're looking at how many, 40 home games
right.
here in the course of the year. So,
you think if the Raiders move here, it will be great?
I think they would draw really well. I really do. And I think for a lot of reasons. And I think one thing, the teams from out of town are going to bring fans in here.
That's what Doug and I were talking about.
You know, on a Sunday. But
yep.
I did UNLV basketball, as you know,
right.
for 12 years right next door at the Thomas and Mack. And when they were good, it was rocking.
Oh, yes, it was.
It was amazing.
They
you
were
know,
tremendous.
16, 17, 18,000.
Absolutely.
But when it fell off a little bit, then the attendance really fell
yep.
off. So I think there may be a honeymoon period for the hockey team, but after that,
it's a fickle sports town that
then
way.
Then you've got to win.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ken, great seeing you. Thanks for coming
by.
Great.
Hey, Doug, great to be with you, man.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you.
All right, we'll come back. We've got 30 minutes left right here. The Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie. Grant Napier, Doug Christie. We've got a little bit left as we're going to get you right up till 7 o'clock. Right now it is 6:36, time for 2016 year-end clearance, jacuzziofsacramento.com. Doug, been a good show. We've covered a lot of topics today. We've got football going on. We've got the baseball playoffs and just a little bit the Kings. Now, I'm only going by my observations, okay? I have obviously not had a chance to talk to the coach because I have been on the radio, but DeMarcus Cousins has not come out at all on the floor. So that would lead me to believe that he's not playing because I don't ever recall DeMarcus not coming out on the floor. Omri Caspi, the same thing. I don't believe Matt Barnes is going to play tonight because of the blow that he took in the game at San Jose against the Warriors. So, I could be wrong about DeMarcus, but he normally comes out and gets his workout in. He has not been on the floor, and the game starts in 55 minutes.
Yeah, that kind of goes to your point earlier, Grant, that Coach Yeager could be starting to dial it in and want to, okay, guys, we've been doing some work, getting some practice in. Let's go ahead and, sit you down for this one. You're going to Lexington, Kentucky, back home. We want to make sure that you get in and play there and
yep,
really start
well
getting
it.
Yeah.
I think you make a good point. The game in Lexington, everyone wants to see DeMarcus and Willie Cauley play, all right? So,
yes.
You know, that makes perfect sense to me. I mean, if you're worried about, you know, two games and you've been going through practices and blah, 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 and here's the other thing, all right? Dave Yeager may not know what, you know, a lot of guys on his team can do. He certainly knows what DeMarcus can do. So it's not like DeMarcus needs to play a lot. Dave Yeager, he knows what Cousins can do. So that could be part of it as well.
Yes, totally agreed. And I'm hoping that is the case, is that they're starting to dial it in. I would really like to see them start the season off strong.
Yeah, they start the season coming up a week from Wednesday. All right, if you want to call the show, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. I don't know. We get to Trevor. Hello, Trevor. How are you?
I always enjoy, you know, especially with talking with basketball people about top 10 guys in the NBA. You know, in my opinion, there's probably about 16 or 17 guys in the league who are quote-unquote top 10 guys who you can make an argument for. But one guy, to me, who's always an interesting conversation, and in my opinion, is definitely in that conversation, and I wanted to get you guys' opinion on it as well, is Draymond Green.
No-brainer. In my opinion, he's a clear-cut, no ifs, ands about a top 10 player in the league.
Yeah, they got him ranked at 13 on SI, but I agree with Grant. He's able to do so many things out there on the basketball court and affect the game in so many different ways. That is where the toolbox comes in, where everyone is not gifted with so much talent. He can do a lot of things.
Absolutely. He's a guy who averages 14 points, about 10 rebounds, 7 assists, and the stat line still doesn't do him justice.
Well, he's a first-team All-NBA defender, too. Let's not forget about that.
I mean, the ability to switch screens, the ability to be able to, in today's NBA, being able to switch screens, he's probably one of the better catch guys in the NBA. And I think if there was, right. I'm not sure, is there a stat about this in the NBA? I think he has to lead the league in hockey assists. The pass that sets up the pass, he's beautiful at it. So he'll have a game where he almost has a triple-double, and it's still the stat line doesn't do his game justice. That's how good he is, in my opinion.
You know, I got into this conversation, Grant, with my son the other day, and we were talking about Draymond, and I was saying that the only thing when I look at Draymond where I'd be questioning is if you took him off such a great team and put him someplace else, what would he do? But the only thing that I say to that is his motor, his skill level. He's going to be productive. As productive as the caller just said with triple doubles and stuff, I'm not quite sure.
Good stuff. All right, let's get to Doug. Doug, you're on with Grant Napier and Doug Christie.
Hey, Grant, how you doing?
Well, what's going on, man?
Well, actually, I have a comment and a question for Doug Christie.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So my comment first is I knew that when you were playing that you would always get at least two or three assists a game from getting that backdoor cut to Peja. I knew you'd set it up. I'm going, here it comes, and there it goes. So it was wonderful watching you do that. You guys played the backdoor cut very, very well.
Thank you.
My question is, when you got to the Kings and all the players were coming to be assembled with all the different factors and moving pieces stuff, when did you know that there's a good chance there's going to be something special here? How did you know?
You know, it's funny that you say that, Doug, because I knew before I even got here because we got traded here. So they give you a call and they tell you, and I'm sitting there and my wife's asking, what's going on? What's going on? So she goes, I said, we're getting traded to Sacramento. She's like, Sacramento? Where's Sacramento? Where's that? I'm like, look, it's in California. And I start running it down. But I said, look, you don't worry about that. I know what we're going to. I knew Chris Webber, Jay Will, Vlade Divac. I seen Peja, and I'm thinking, oh, boy, my skill set can fit. Now, Doug, when I got into practice and we hit the floor, I just went, oh, boy, this is really, really something special. I was having fun on the basketball court. The way that we practiced, there were a lot of things that dictated it, but right away I knew.
All right, we'll come right.
That is amazing.
All right, we're out of time, so we're going to come back. We got a final segment, the Grant Napier Show. This is Sports 1140 KHTK.
It's 6:47. Time to go solar with Sierra Pacific. Call now for $500 off, 800-551-3040.
All right, Grant Napier, Doug Christie, we are taking you up for a few more minutes, and then we've got Kings basketball. You still have time to get on at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. So it's the Kings and the Lakers, and then it's on to Lexington to see the Kings take on the Washington Wizards. And, Doug, I think you might be right on that. I mean, I think if you're looking at, you know, preseason and you have three games left and you know you're going to Lexington and you want to give the fans there their money's worth, you probably – I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case with DeMarcus Cousins. And as I said, I don't ever recall him playing in a game – where he has not come out and worked out before the game. And again, right now there's 44 minutes on the clock before the horn sounds, and he has not been out on the floor.
Yeah, that sounds about right. He probably got a good day of practice in, and this is one where you sit out. You want to really put your best foot forward, make sure him and Willie Cauley-Stein get out there and put on a show. So that's probably it. But, he may saunter out and start doing some micing drills on you. You never know, man.
You never know what's right. You're absolutely right. Football going on, baseball. So tomorrow I'll be joining Doug. I'll be in Lexington. He'll be in studio. And, boy, we're going to have a lot to talk about tomorrow with, the pivotal elimination game tonight with the winner going on to play the Cubs and, of course, Monday Night Football going on. So we'll have a lot to talk about tomorrow. And, of course, Doug, after watching the game tonight, I'll have a lot of feedback from Lexington tomorrow on the good and the bad of tonight's game. And we'll count it down because 2 weeks from tonight is the home opener at the Golden One Center. Hard to believe.
You got me so excited, man. I got to go home and get my suit out right now, man, get it pressed up and get ready, man.
Oh,
I'm excited.
Got to be looking good, man. You got to get it done. You know, you got to have it just primo, right? It's got to be perfect. It's got to be perfect, man. You know, you can't – it's opening night. You know, the ordinary duds won't do. You got to go big time on opening night, right?
Okay.
You got to go big time.
You know what? I'm going to look through there, and I'm going to find something that special, or maybe I'll just look that tuxedo look.
Hey, 10-3 at the half, San Diego leading Denver. And so we talked about Trevor Siemian. We talked about Denver. How about that? Only 3 points in the first half at San Diego.
Yeah, I'm telling you, we talked about it, and I'm thinking that there is a possibility for an upset. The coach who's backing up for Denver didn't look very positive. And in the first half, you got Rivers for 148 yards and a touchdown. So they're looking good for the Chargers right now.
And you've got the Nats on top of the Dodgers, 1-0 that ball game in the fifth. And again, Max Scherzer, Rich Hill, the starters, and Scherzer right now tossing a shutout in the top of the fifth. The Nats leading by the score of 1-0. So we'll break it all down. We'll find out who's going to be playing the Cubs. And then tomorrow we got the American League going on with Cleveland and Toronto. We'll be taking phone calls tomorrow. And you know what I love about Friday, Doug? I have a thing called Lock of the Week and Upset of the Week. So I want you to think about this. Tomorrow I'm going to ask you for your Lock of the Week in the NFL and your Upset of the Week. We do it every Friday.
Well, we know the lock is probably the Seahawks, and it definitely won't be the Seahawks for the upset, buddy.
Oh my gosh! Make believe I didn't even ask you that, Doug. Just erase the last 30 seconds from your memory. Unbelievable.
Hey,
Seahawks got Atlanta this week, right?
Yes, they do. And but it's in Seattle. Also, they already got Washington got to the bullpen. Hill is out. Blanton is in. And man on first, top of the fifth. Dodgers up.
All right. Well, tomorrow, again, I'll be in Lexington. Doug and I will look forward to having another full show. Well, as I said, we are going to have a lot to talk about, a lot to talk about. Please do, actually. She would enjoy that. Vladdy asked if I would mind him sitting next to my wife. Of course I would not mind. That's Vladdy Divots. In any event, Doug, have yourself a great evening, buddy.
You got it. You as well, man. Go Kings.
All right. For Doug Christie, Grant Napier, make it a great evening, everybody. Kings basketball is next.